I'm going to cover a lot very quickly. If you take down notes, I'll probably say it just about as fast as you can write it. But I've got several things I want to bring out, different points, and I'm not going to belabor the points. I'm just going to give them to you, what God had spoken to my heart about. Last Sunday morning, I dealt with Hebrews chapter 11, and we talked some about the purpose of it, the definition of faith, the demonstration of faith. And then this is the last part where some of those that were named, and then he starts into the unnamed people of faith. Beginning with verse 32 is the last names that he gives. And let's just read that. Hebrews 11:32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Now, when I was doing this study, again, out of Hebrews 11, there was one name that seemed to stick out to me as somewhat being a mystery man to why he would be placed in the hall of faith and the heroes of faith, and that is Samson. See, if I mention the name Samson, the thing that comes to my mind first, and probably many of your minds too, is you automatically, when you say Samson, you think Delilah. We think of his failure. And with his character, he did some things that he was disobedient to God. He started out right, but he wound up through times of heartache and betrayal. He became very bitter, did some things that's not Christ-like. His character wasn't Christ-like in so many ways, but here he is in the hall of faith. Now, what that tells us is, some of us may start out good, and we may take some detours, but that doesn't mean that God's not finished with us yet. If you're here and you have life and health, you have the ability tonight to make sure that God uses you in your lifetime to do something great for God. And even though his conduct wasn't Christ-like, when I started questioning myself, why would this man be listed in the hall of faith, and the heroes of faith? And there were several reasons that came to mind, because I thought of the circumstances, not his character that he failed in, but the circumstances in his life that was almost a foreknowledge or a type of Jesus Christ himself. There was many things that happened in his life that really was Christ-like in so many areas. Have you ever thought about some of the comparisons of Samson to Christ himself? We think about his sin and talk about that, but I'm glad that the Lord doesn't look at us like people look at us. I'd hate for all that people did was talk about my past and my sin. I'm glad the Lord doesn't see us for what we've done. But after the blood is applied, he sees us for what we can be through the blood of Jesus Christ and for what we can do through the Lord. Now listen to this. Think about a few things. First of all, his birth was announced by an angel. You'll read about his birth in Judges 13, really from Judges 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16. All of those chapters deal with the life of Samson. And his birth was announced by an angel. Just like the birth of Jesus, Jesus' birth was announced like an angel. He was born, according to Judges 13, for a particular purpose, and that was to be a deliverer of his people, of the nation of Israel, and a deliverer from sin. Can I tell you that even though that Samson was born as a deliverer for the nation of Israel, Jesus' announcement that he delivers from sin is one of the best news that we could ever receive in all of our life. Do you know that he still delivers? I preach that Jesus can deliver us from anything. If you're a drug addict, he can deliver you. If you're an alcoholic tonight, he can deliver you. If you're bound by bad habits, he can deliver you. If you're in sin that you can't stop doing, He can deliver you. If you're in sickness, He can deliver you. If your marriage just seems to be torn apart, He can deliver you. If you're at a place in your life where you need finances, He can deliver you. If you need a job, He can deliver you. If you need help, He can deliver you. Thank God, He is the deliverer from Mount Zion. He is our deliverer. Not only that, but the Bible says that his name was Samson. The name Samson literally means like the sun. What sun? The sun of righteousness that's risen with healing in his wings. Not only that, but that name is transliterated from another word that means the light. Can you see the parallel between Jesus Christ? He is the bright and morning star, the sun of all the ages, and He is the light of the world. Another thing about Samson, that he was like Christ, was that the Spirit came upon him for ministry. Here's Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, but it still took the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work. If Jesus needed to be anointed with the Spirit, you listen to what I'm saying. We need preachers today, and teachers today, and Christians today, and singers today that are anointed by the Spirit of God. My greatest concern in life is I never want to come into this pulpit and preach without the Spirit of God upon me. But the Spirit of God would move at different times in his life, even when he was young, and when he would face certain things. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon him in a mighty way. I don't know about you, but I felt the Spirit of God come on me today in this place. Lord, we don't want to live our life without your Spirit. It is the Spirit that gives us power to minister to others. Are you ready for this? He's like Jesus because he slew a lion. Jesus took care of the lion that roars. He goes to and fro seeking whom he may devour. The devil tells you, you're done. But Jesus took care of him on Calvary. You don't have to worry about the devil. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Lord has power over the enemy. He broke the jaws of death and set us free when he died and rose from the grave. Something else. He carried the gates of the enemy's city up to the top of the hill. Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Why? Because when he died on Calvary's cross and said it is finished, he swept down off that old rugged cross and went down into the quarters of the damned and took the gates of death and hell and took them to the top of the mountain and said, I have conquered death and I have conquered hell. Something else. He took a Gentile bride. Boy, that blessed my soul. You know something? We really don't deserve to be a part of this. We as Americans feel like we're special, but the truth of the matter is, Jesus came unto his own and his own received him not. They turned him away and rejected him. But the Lord Jesus Christ began to teach through the New Testament and the book of Acts. He gave Peter the vision of the unclean things. We know that Paul talked about us being that wild grass that was grafted into the olive tree. That's the Gentile people. I'm so glad that Jesus said, I'm not just going to come to the Jews. I'm going to come to the Gentiles. And we can be part of the bride of Christ. He took a bride out of the Gentiles. There's going to be a wedding one day. And when that wedding takes place, I'm glad they'll come from the north, the south, the east, the west, sat down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the city of God, and we are part of the bride. Another thing, Samson was betrayed for pieces of silver. Jesus was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. Delilah got more than what Judas got, but still, he was betrayed by silver changing hands. Jesus says to every one of you that feel like you've been betrayed by somebody in life or betrayed by a situation, Jesus says to you, I understand what you're going through because I was betrayed as well. Jesus called those 12 knowing that one of them would betray him. Here is Samson being betrayed by Delilah. He'd already been betrayed by his friends when he had left and they gave his wife to his companion. Now he's betrayed by his own companion. I'm telling you, sometimes betrayal can bite us in our heart and make us bitter inside. But the Lord knows what it's like to be betrayed. He died among his enemies. They made mockery of him. They brought Samson out on the feast day to the temple of Dagon. And the Bible puts it this way. They made sport of him. They made mockery of him. They now blinded him. Taken the strength that was in his hair. He had given the secrets of his heart. Hey, be careful who you give your secrets to. Who you tell the secrets of your heart to will give your hair away too, and you'll lose strength with God. What do you mean by that? Be careful what you tell the devil. Do you realize the devil's not all-knowing? He doesn't know. He's not like Jesus. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know all things. He doesn't know what you're thinking. He doesn't know what your plans are. What happens is we a lot of times tell the devil what we're doing so he knows what's going on. You're welcome. They made mockery of him. I never in my life seen a time where the world makes such mockery of the church. Mockery of preachers and mockery of Christians. They want to make us feel like that we're a joke. Young people, the devil wants you to feel like that you're out of step with the world if you don't do certain things and act certain ways. They make you feel like that you're strange and they'll make mockery of you. Watch, I know what I'm talking about. They'll make fun of you for being a Christian. You let them go ahead and laugh all they want to. Let's see who has the last laugh. When you're in heaven enjoying eternal life, you'll be glad that you serve Christ as a young man or a young woman. Go ahead, let the world make fun of you. I'm here to tell you the best way is God's way. I started preaching when I was 16 years old. I haven't regretted a day that I've traveled for the Lord. There's been times when I've failed Him. There's been times I haven't done all the things I should have done. But one thing I can tell you with all assurance, I've never regretted living for Jesus. He is worth more than all of this world. The world will mock you. They'll make fun of you. But the Lord will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And all that matters is that we please the Lord. He met a friend when he died. There was a lad that was holding the hand of Samson. That's what the Bible says. He held his hand. Samson couldn't see him. He was blind. They gouged his eyes out. And he asked the lad, would you put my hands on the pillar that I can lean on them? And the lad helped him find the pillars. He met a friend in the hour of death. Jesus is hanging on a cross between two thieves, just like Samson between two pillars. He looks at one side and all he hears is, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other one, Jesus found a friend. He said, don't you see we're in the same condemnation as this man? In other words, we're dying. And he said, we deserve, we're getting the just rewards for our deeds. But he looks to Jesus and said, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And then he said those wonderful words, Father, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today I say unto thee, shalt thou be with me in paradise. He met a friend that day. Even in the hour of death, there was a friend that came into his life and was there to fulfill his purpose of life. Another thing, he pulled down the temple of false religion when he died. He was in the temple of Dagon. You would have thought the Philistines learned their lesson. Dagon never could stand up. When the Ark of the Covenant was brought before Dagon, Dagon fell on his face. All the false religions will bow one day before him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. All the false religions of this world. Now let's get this right. There's not a lot of ways and there's not a few ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven. That's by and through Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was dying with his arms stretched out on Calvary's cross, all the philosophies of the world had to crumble at his word, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by him. And as he was dying, he was pulling down the temples of false religions in this world. One day every false religious leader will have to bow before him and declare that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Another thing, he did more in his death than he did in his life. That's what the Bible says. They that he slew at his death were more than those that he had slain in his life. He accomplished more in his death than he did with his life. For 3.5 years, Jesus ministered on this earth. For 3.5 years, he did great things with his life. He caused blind people to see, deaf people to hear, mute people to speak, lame people to walk. 3 occasions, he came to funerals or to those that had died. All 3 occasions, including Lazarus. He raised them from the dead. But can I tell you, when he stretched out his arms on the cross and died and cried, "It is finished," he did greater works at his death than he had done in his life. Because now it's not 3 raising from the dead. John said there was a multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and tongues and people. One day when Jesus comes again, the graves will give up the dead that's in them, and will rise to meet him in the air. Not 3, but millions upon millions that have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, what he did in his death was greater than all of what he did in his life. And then there's something else. When Samson died, his friends came and got his body and buried him. When Jesus died, suddenly Joseph of Arimathea could keep quiet no longer. He came and got his body and said, "I plead and beg for the body of Jesus." And his friends took him to a burial place. Now what they didn't know, he wasn't going to need it very long. But they were still there to carry him to his burial place. Samson's a mystery man. Strange in so many ways. The parallels between him and Jesus. Some of you have really made some terrible choices in your life. You've done some things that you're so ashamed of. But can I remind you? It's a mystery. It's a mystery what God will do through one life that is willing to yield themselves to Jesus Christ. You don't know what God has in store for you. You don't know the plans that He has for you. You don't know the way that He can use you. It's mysterious to us. When I stood and preached my first sermon, I preached 10 minutes on the power of God. Boy, you wish those days were back, don't you? I closed my Bible up, I had prayer and said amen. And as far as I knew, that was the end. I didn't know if I'd ever preach again or not. I didn't mean that bad, I just felt like I did so bad, I doubt if anybody would at me. But somebody else, maybe they felt sorry for me, I don't know, but they gave me a chance. And pretty soon, somebody called and wanted a revival. Jim Conkey called, said, "I'm pastoring over at Soda Dale, like for you to come and hold revival." Went to hold a revival, went there for about 3 days. I stayed several days. The revival went on. People kept being saved. And before long, one call after another came in for revival. And I sat in my home this afternoon, realized out on the back porch, and I was reflecting over the service this morning. And I told Candy, I said, do you realize that the children of our church have seen God do things that maybe, not because we're special or we're better, but they've seen God do things that a whole generation of churchgoers have never seen done. Maybe I better run over that again. What you saw today is the normal. It's becoming the normal. It's commonplace. I don't know how you feel about it, but boy, I had no idea what God had in store for us. Howard, in 1983, when you and I stood under the oak trees out at Mount Hope Bible Camp, and you all called on me to come to pastor this church, and I was 22 years of age, I didn't know anything about anything, especially pastoring. I had no idea that God would allow us to see happen what we've seen happen. But I'm telling you, I'm loving the trip. It's a mystery why God would be so good to us. It's a mystery why God would allow any of us the right of everlasting life. But bless His holy name, I'm so glad that He does. This is not a message about what you deserve. This is a message about what we didn't deserve that God did for us. But it takes one thing. The failure comes when we fail to yield ourselves to Christ. The writer said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Without Christ, I can do nothing. And you can do nothing.